Welcome to Only in Clark County, the show with a mission to share the stories of the people and places that make Clark County unique. I'm your host, Brandon Heinbigner, and I found it all too easy to get caught up in our day-to-day lives and forget to get out and connect with our community. The purpose of this show is to encourage us all to do just that. Engage with the special people, local businesses, and local attractions that can only be found right here in Clark County, Washington. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Only in Clark County. Today, we are here with my guest, Ryan Philbrook, the owner of Ryan Philbrook VoiceOver.
That's me. Hello.
Welcome to the show, Ryan. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. My pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to talking to you about the interesting work that you do. For listeners out there, Ryan, over the past couple months, has become a good friend of mine. He and I have had some very in-depth conversations about funny media things, and I highly encourage you to check out his show, The Ryan Philbrook Show, of which we are recording an episode right now. His past episodes have been hilarious. They are a show made for social media format, and everyone, through his video editing, his voice acting skills, his regular acting skills, and the guests he has on his show, create an amazing experience for the viewer. With that, the purpose we're here today and the purpose we have him on our show today is to learn a little bit more about all that he is doing. We're going to dive right in. Ryan, can you tell us a bit more about your business and what you offer Clark County, specifically the mission behind what you do?
Oh, absolutely. And just to clarify real quick, you are looking for an answer about my voiceover business, not about the Ryan Philbrook Show.
Well, I guess that's a good point. How about both?
Oh, gosh. Doubleheader. Okay, well, my name's Ryan Philbrook. Like he said, I own Ryan Philbrook VoiceOver. And what I do is I offer professional broadcast quality voiceover for clients worldwide. It's really cool. I've gotten to work with people literally all over the world, and it's fantastic. I do commercial advertisements for people. I can help your business with on-hold messaging and phone trees. I've done animation and, you know, cartoons, explainer videos, things like that, training videos for businesses. It's just voiceover is everywhere. And I feel like that's something that people know, but you don't really, like, notice it until you're sitting down and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, it is everywhere.
It's true. And for anybody who hasn't visited his website, ryanphilbrook.com, he has samples of different things he's done. And to your point, that is when I realized, man, voice really is everywhere. You don't pick up on how many commercials, how many radio ads, whatever, are out there until it is directly brought to your attention. And maybe that's what they call good advertising, is you don't know you're being advertised to. So I think that's very interesting.
Well, and if I could, just real quick, I think that voiceover is seen primarily as one of two different things. It's seen as either advertising or it's seen as, you know,
cartoon voices
sort of a thing. But it's so much more than that. And wow, I sound like a commercial. But voiceover is education. You know, voiceover is informing. Voiceover is guiding and just all of these different things. Because, you know, when you call into a business and they're closed, or you're trying to get to the voicemail for the right person, yeah, sometimes there are advertisements embedded in that. You know, you hear the hold music, and then you hear an ad, and then you hear the hold music. But a lot of times it's just, you know, press 1 to connect to Brandon Heinbigner, you know, and leave a voicemail. And I never really realized how different the call-in experience is for a customer when you don't have that, or if you have one that's done by a robot. Like, I feel like there's just this thing inside of us as humans where it's like, oh, that's not a person, you know, and it just either is annoying to have to navigate it or whatever, whereas if you have a really pleasant voice, a really, you know, real-sounding voice, it just makes the whole process a lot smoother.
How do you get into character for these roles, do you think about what mood would this character be in? How would this character feel? Things like that?
Yes and no. Yeah, I mean, yes. In broad terms, absolutely, 100%. But it really depends on the project.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is a long-form animation is going to have a very different process for developing a character than a 30-second ad spot where you're playing a talking carrot, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, you still want to know where the carrot's coming from and stuff like that, which is a strange sentence to say for most people. But with something like a fictional podcast, right? Like a fiction podcast or a show of some sort that is scripted and has pre-production and production and post-production, you have more time with that character to study the script, to study the motivations, that sort of thing. A lot of my jobs that I get are, you know, I'll get the script an hour beforehand, or I'll get the script on the call with the directing team, and they're like, okay, you know, read through it real quick, and we're going.
Okay.
You know, and now try it this way and try it that way. So one way that voice actors that I've spoken to and the ones that the way that I do it, you have a stable of characters. You have a wheelhouse that you kind of have developed ahead of time. And when you're reading the lines, you go, oh, okay, I could totally use this voice for that, but because he's from such and such background, well, you know, maybe I'll make it a little more sad or a little more whatever. And it morphs into a version of a stock voice that I have in mind that I work on all the time.
A big thank you to our founding partners at Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing for their ongoing support of community radio. Morrell Inc. is a woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop that since 1993 has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative printing and marketing solutions. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff creates partnerships with their clients and uses the latest technologies to meet their needs. More information about which of Morrell Inc.'s products, printing, and marketing strategies will best serve your next project and budget can be found at morrellinc.com. That's morrellinc.com.
Can you give us a little bit more of your backstory? Because voice acting is not something that you just fall into. How did you find yourself in this career?
Well, you know, I kind of fell into it. It's true, though. It's true. So the acting bug bit me early. I was 4 years old, and I was at the Vancouver Mall, and Ronald McDonald was there with all the other, like, Grimace and Hamburglar and all of them. Yeah. And Ronald McDonald was looking for volunteers to come up, you know, kid volunteers to come up on stage. And he pointed, I swear, at me. I was four, you know? And so I was like, oh, sweet. And so I go running off into the crowd. My mom's like, no, wait. And she has my little brother in the stroller. And so they're trying to follow me and fight through the crowd. And I get over the stairs, and there's a much older kid who got there at the same time as me, who very obviously was the one he actually picked. And so, you know, Ronald looked at me and he's like, oh, not you, kid. You're too young. And he meant it in a very nice way. You know, he's Ronald McDonald. He works with kids all the time. But to me, as a four-year-old, I hear, not you, child. You're too young. And I was like, oh, crap. And I didn't know what to do, right? So I just kind of sat down on the steps, and I didn't move. And I watched this older kid go up on stage, and Ronald's like, all right, here's your one line. And the kid was just being a pill, right? Just not, I mean, you know, acting his age in front of an audience. He was showing off, but Ronald's like, okay, I'm gonna need you to leave. You're not doing the thing, and you gotta go, kid. So that kid left the stage, and Ronald just happens to notice me sitting there. And he's like, you still wanna do this? Yeah. You think you can do it? Yeah. All right, get up here. I had one line, but it was amazing and it was exhilarating, and like it's the acting experience just encapsulated perfectly. You show up, like, I got up there, I auditioned for the role, I was rejected and shut down. I didn't give up, I stuck around, and I got the role anyway when the original person didn't work out. And then, boom, I was on stage. But, so, you know, that's when it bit me, and I did theater in high school. I was very much a wallflower, didn't want to talk to anybody, was always quiet and reserved until my friends convinced me to join theater. And I was in every production, I took all the classes, I was on, they don't call them a board then, but you know, I was VP of the drama club.
Okay.
And I went from there. I did independent film. I worked with a local production company in town, helped a buddy of mine start it up, Ametza Media. I contracted with him. I did, you know, screenwriting and on-camera stuff, which was cool. But it wasn't until I was editing a video together for a restaurant, and I put my voice in over the commercial, totally expecting to be replaced, but hoping in my heart of hearts that it wouldn't be. And we showed it to the owner, and he's like, yeah, I like it. And we're like, sweet, what were you thinking for the voiceover? And he's like, no, I like it. And this light bulb went off in my head where I was like, holy crap, I really can do this. You know, because it's not like I ever stopped acting. I just had to slow down a lot because I got married and had kids and, you know, running around all the time doing unpaid jobs and auditioning all the time and working 15-hour days. That's not conducive to having a family life.
Sure.
But when I realized that I could do voice acting, it was amazing. I invested in voiceover coaching, you know, because it's acting, but it's also, it's got its own thing that goes with it. And so I invested in voiceover coaching, which you should always keep up on. I took business classes online and marketing classes and read advertising books and saved up and invested in a home studio for recording, you know, that's all treated and everything. And I've been doing it for 4 years in January.
That's
full-time.
Awesome.
Full time. It's amazing.
That's incredible. So
it's a long-winded answer. I apologize.
No, that's perfect. What went through your head when you decided to finally take that leap and say, I'm going to do this full time?
It was kind of like jumping out of a plane.
Okay.
Like, you know, you're there, you've invested all of this effort and this money, and you see what you need to do, but you're terrified and excited all at the same time, so you throw up a prayer and you jump. And that's honestly the best analogy I have for it, because that's what was going through my mind, is just all those things. Like 99% of an actor's job is being rejected.
Like, I guess that makes sense.
I am a professional at being rejected. Like that's same thing with authors, you know. I think it was Stephen King who kept all of his rejection letters in a folder. And he used that to fuel him.
That's interesting. You've written books too, haven't you?
I have. I've written two books, actually. So
okay.
Yeah, I did. That was at a time in my life when I ran out of money to make my own independent films, and I didn't have the open availability that a lot of productions would want for an actor. You know, so I was working in corporate at the time, I believe. Maybe that was when I was waiting tables. I don't know. All very stereotypical, like, actor things. But the scripts that I was writing, I always felt really hamstrung by not having a budget for locations or props or pyrotechnics, because I like pyrotechnics. And apparently there's safety is expensive. So I never got to do those. But during this time, I realized, you know what? It doesn't matter how much I invest into writing screenplays, because at that time, I had not done the market research. I didn't understand how to sell a screenplay while not living in a major film market. So you can't really network with any of the buyers. So anything I wrote, I would have to produce myself. And it's like, I'm so tired of being limited by, well, who do I know that looks like this? What place do I know that I can convince to let me, you know, do this for next to no money or no money at all? And with books, your imagination's the limit. You can throw whatever production value you want in there. And so I wrote two books. The first one is a mystery, kind of thriller sort of a situation. And the second one's a horror thriller. And after that, I stopped because it is very hard.
Hard in the sense of writing them, promoting them, both?
Both. Yeah. Okay. That's another thing, you know, is I did not realize until I did it. Because, like, I wrote my first book. I guess I wrote three books. So I wrote my first book, and I thought it was amazing, and I put it out there, and nobody bought it, and I read it later, and it's not amazing. But so I took everything I learned, and I wrote a second book. And that second book got picked up by a regional publisher, which was really cool. And I was like, oh, this is it. I made it. I've made it. Yes. And I was already working on another book. And that was when I found out that authors are responsible for most of their own marketing. And again, I was much younger at that point, and I did not understand how to do that. And it apparently never entered my mind, oh, just take marketing classes, take business classes. No, why would I think about that? So after the second book came out and didn't sell enough to support me on its own and make me independently wealthy and own a yacht in some tropical area, I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick to shorter form stuff because I can produce that. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that a lot longer, and I know how to do the short form stuff. Let's stick with that. I'll come back to the books later. I never came back. But it was a really good experience, and I felt really good about it.
Are these books still in existence anywhere?
They are, but they're not in print.
Okay.
So if you find one, it's going to be, you know, secondhand somewhere. But they were Summer Falls and The Brooding Bard.
Okay.
And it's funny. I really lucked out with Summer Falls because I copyrighted it. Right? Like, you write it, you copyright it. I got my copyright, and it got published. And then I want to say, like, a month after it came out, a character on Doctor Who wrote a book, like, a fictional one, called Summer Falls. And
wow.
I swear that boosted my publicity on that.
I'm sure,
people would type it in and, like, oh, there's Summer Falls. Yeah, maybe not the one you were looking for.
That's so funny. So how did you start and get the idea for the Ryan Philbrook Show?
Ah, the Ryan Philbrook Show. Actually, that one was also accidental.
Okay.
My parents, my dad especially, always like to say, chance favors the prepared mind. And I know that that's a quote, but he used to quote it at me all the time, and it's very much stuck with me. And that is what I see all of these things in my life being, right? Like, a lot of people think that opportunity is something being just handed to you.
Mm-hmm.
But opportunity really is a door being opened. And first, you have to say yes and go through it. But second, you also have to have an ability to roll with the punches, to kind of make it up as you go along, but also have the experience to draw from to be successful at whatever that opportunity is.
Right.
So it's like chance favors the prepared mind. Opportunity knocks, but you got to open the door and go through it. And the Ryan Philbrook Show was a lot of that. When I was helping my friend Brandon start his production company, I did a lot of networking, right? And I was contracted, like I said, to do scripting and on-camera stuff, but I really like networking and meeting people. Just that's part of who I am, so I did that too. And I met a lot of people in the community. I started doing a lot of stuff too, outside of that. And when I started doing my voiceover, I kept doing it. And there's this organization, the Community Foundation of Southwest Washington. And it was 2021, I think. I don't know. Everything since COVID has just melted together.
Yeah.
But 2021, they asked me to host a Giving Late show for them. And so I worked with them, and I wrote a monologue, helped with the show structure, came up with the game, all these sorts of things. And I hosted this late night show for a fundraiser. And it was a lot of fun, and people responded really well to it, and it went well. I did that again this year in 2022. And I was really, really proud when they told me that my show was the most viewed out of the video casts that
they did.
And that made me really happy. And all throughout the filming of it, I had, you know, the people that I interviewed or people working on it behind the scenes, the crew, or just people who were tangentially attached to it and there on set. They kept asking me, you know, so when's the Ryan Philbrook Show coming out? I'd watch that. And enough people asked me that who don't know each other, mm-hmm. like at all, that I was kind of like, you know, when is the Ryan Philbrook Show coming out? And I started thinking about it, and I started putting it together, and I started talking to people around town that I knew, or that I know, that have interesting stories. And I was like, hey, so if I did this thing, would you be interested in being on it? All of them were just like, yes, absolutely. Hmm. And that's how it started. I love meeting new people. I love learning new things. And I love sharing that knowledge. I love sharing that information. Connecting people with things that they find interesting or with opportunities for themselves to take a shot at, take a chance at, is one of my favorite things in the world. And to be able to do that with this show has just been exhilarating. And I really want to involve the community as much as possible in this show. And I really want to get the word out about as many organizations and events as possible as I can, because growing up, I was always the kid who was like, oh, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do around here. Why don't I live in New York? Why don't I live in LA? Why don't I live wherever? Travel the world, find some interesting things. There's tons of interesting stuff right here. Just a lot of people don't know where to look, or they never hear about it because they run in different circles than the people promoting it. And I like to bridge that gap.
You took some sentences straight out of my head, because that is basically, you could do the commercial for why this show was started, and all you'd have to do is repeat those exact same words.
That was one of the things that was most interesting to me when we first met. Was it was like, wow, we're doing kind of the same thing, just in different mediums and with a different angle.
And it's very true, but I could not possibly agree with you more. I was the same way. I said, growing up, there's nothing to do. Me personally, I would always go to Crosley Bowl or Vancouver Mall or something like that, the hot spots for teenagers. And I'm just going through college, going through high school, actually. I'm like, I can't wait to leave and go somewhere else for college. Opportunity came. I'm like, I don't really want to leave. So I went to WSU Vancouver.
Good school.
It is very good. And go Cougs.
Go and Cougs.
Through that, you know, I was still very much of a person who did not venture out. But when COVID hit, I realized exactly what you just said. Everything you can possibly need is in Clark County. Sure, we don't have the skyscrapers. Maybe we don't have the opportunities to the level of something like New York or whatever, but I think Clark County has everything you need to start down any path you could ever want. It is the perfect practice ground for anything you could ever need. And people are here to support you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find the people you gel best with. And once you find those people, stick with them, because they'll help you grow. And then, you know, you can go to L.A. or New York or whatever if you so choose. But I couldn't agree more. I think there is so much here that people don't know exists, whether it be an event or a business or whatever. And a lot of people just think Clark County's Vancouver, mm-hmm. and it's not. Ridgefield, Camas, Battleground, La Center, all these places that, especially if you're coming from out of town, if you're coming from the airport, you have to pass into Vancouver. And a lot of people say, we're here, we're in Washington, we're in Clark County, and you're in Vancouver, but there's more to Clark County.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always wanted to buy a washing machine and support affordable housing at the same time? Well, now you can at the Clark County Habitat for Humanity store. They have furniture, appliances, building materials, rugs, paint, flooring, tile, and tons of other new and gently used items. Every purchase supports home building projects right here in Clark County. You can donate your own things too, or better yet, you can call 360-213-1313. That's 360-213-1313, and they'll come pick them up from your home. The Clark County Habitat for Humanity store is located on Southeast 2nd Street near the corner of Mill Plain and I-205. They have everything and the kitchen sink.
So back to voice acting. What is your favorite voice to do in your toolbox?
Oh my gosh. Aside from my normal one, because I really do like, I like using my normal voice for things. But it's probably this, this wizened storyteller right here. This is probably one of my favorite voices to do. And I don't know why. He's just so, I don't know, warm and pleasant to listen to. It's one of the best.
How do you picture that character? I picture him as...
Well, I'm not going to take that away from you. I want you to picture it however you picture it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to share how I picture it. I picture you with a about a foot-long white beard.
Oh, yes.
Glasses.
Beautiful.
Maybe a sweater next to a fireplace.
Absolutely. And a mug of warm cocoa.
And maybe a pipe.
Oh, yes. Yes, a bubble pipe.
Exactly, yes. A bubble pipe. I'm blown away by your story. I absolutely love it, and I'm so bummed that we're at about time. Most importantly, before we go, though, I really want listeners to know how they can connect with you.
Yes.
What do they want to do? Say they need a voice actor. How would they get in touch with you? How can they follow you on social media? And what else would you like them to know?
Oh, yes. Instagram and Facebook, primarily. I am also on TikTok. So, I mean, if you just do a search for The Ryan Philbrook Show on any one of those platforms, you're going to find me.
Okay.
Everything's just under my name. I really want to take The Ryan Philbrook Show to exciting heights. Mm-hmm. Like, right now, it's something that I do on the side when I have time. And I would love to make it more of my full-time job and like have a team that I work with to feature local businesses and local events and just local interesting people too, like who have interesting stories or do interesting things or give back in interesting ways. Right now we do these contests and these games, which are kind of small but fun, and I'd like to do bigger ones, you know? So it's just, it's the same, but more of it, louder, more entertaining, more ridiculous, because that's my whole pitch for the Ryan Philbrook Show. Is short, sweet, ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because talk shows on TV are long. And who has time to sit down and listen to somebody talk for an hour?
Right.
You know, at the end of the night. I fall asleep. Nothing against the hosts. Like, I like the hosts. It's just long, and I'm sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
But so short, sweet, ridiculous, that's what I want to do with the show.
So where can they find your show if they just search you on Instagram or Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
They'll be able to look at your past posts and view past episodes?
Yes. You can also go to theryanphilbrookshow.com, and that'll take you directly to episodes that way, too.
Okay, perfect. Unfortunately, like I say, we have to wrap up. But Ryan, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you so much for telling your story. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. As I said at the beginning, we have been becoming very good friends over the past couple of months, and I've heard a little bit of what he said, but there was a lot in there that I didn't know. And for all the listeners out there, I really hope you guys enjoyed. I know I did. And Ryan, thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Brandon.
For all listeners out there, this is actually going to be featured on the next episode of The Ryan Philbrook Show.
It's true.
Follow Ryan Philbrook on Instagram and Facebook for updates, and stay tuned for what comes next. He will be announcing, you'll be able to see us recording this live on his episode.
It's true. And I mean, if you're getting technical on Instagram, I'm Ryan Philbrook VO, but you know.
Perfect, perfect. Well, again, thank you so much for being here, Ryan. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening out there. We hope to see you next time on Only in Clark County.
Are you a musician or artist in the local Vancouver, Portland area?
Ready to take things to the next level?
Well, New Waves Northwest on KXRW has got you covered. Send in your song submissions to submitmusic@kxrw.fm for a chance to be highlighted on one of our upcoming episodes.
New Waves Northwest is the best place to discover bands and artists from the Pacific Northwest and all over the country. Once again, send submissions to submitmusic@kxrw.fm. And as always, stay wavy.